The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Oh, the drama, the pettiness even. A live report from Green Bay OTAs is coming in moments. The latest on Jordan Love and how he's looked. Plus, the reason someone here believes Aaron Rodgers will play for the Packers this season. And it's because of a few eye-popping numbers. We'll tell you all about it. Welcome to NFL Live. You see him right here. We got Jeff Darlington, Tim Hasselbeck, and Ryan Clark with you for the hour. So glad you're along for the ride with us today. Later, the reason Trey Lance will start for the 49ers instead of Jimmy G. But we begin with the Packers. And Green Bay in the thick of OTAs without Aaron Rodgers. He was in Hawaii for a while. And listen, it would have been extremely surprising if he had shown up. He's made his stance clear. Don't forget, in Rodgers' recent interview with Kenny Mayne, he made it obvious it's the front office that has him upset. Here's Matt LaFleur today.
He's really attacking it the right way. The focus is there. The work ethic and just he's grinding away and trying to get a little bit better each and every day.
You know, it all goes back to when you're a little kid in the backyard and playing Pop Warner, just having fun. To see him out there, you know, like throwing a good ball and like looking back and like smiling, like, yeah, I did that. But like also just like that competitive, just kind of drive. And I've definitely seen that a lot out of him. And so that's really exciting as a friend of him to see him, you know, having fun, being confident, and just going out there. Everything's not perfect, but, you know, that's why we practice.
Everybody talking about Jordan Love there, and our ESPN Packers reporter Rob Domofsky joining us now from OTAs in Green Bay. Rob, where has Jordan Love shown the most improvement after spending last season as the number three quarterback, who's now just thrust into this number one spot with a ton of attention on him?
Yeah, Laura, it's not so much about his arm. That's what we all look at, right? We see how the ball's coming out, and it is coming out quicker. He seems to be a little bit more decisive. But Coach Matt LaFleur told us today that it's really more about his feet and getting his footwork right, because that's what he wants to see as far as quarterbacks making their reads. Now, at times today, we saw Love checking the ball down a lot, and I wondered if that was a sign of being unsure. But LaFleur said that when we saw him checking down to running backs time after time, it was really the idea of a quarterback going through his progression and understanding all of the reads. And one thing that you heard A.J. Dillon say there, A.J. Dillon came in the same draft class with Jordan Love, and he said it's great to see him having fun and doing what he was brought here to do. Now, the question, of course, Laura, is when he will actually do it. For right now in OTAs, it's the Jordan Love Show. Next week, if Aaron Rodgers shows up for minicamp, which a lot of people around here don't think he will, it will continue to be the Jordan Love Show until the Rodgers situation is resolved, Laura.
Yeah, and next week, Rob, the story only intensifies, which means we'll be seeing a lot more of you. If the Packers don't budge on trading Aaron Rodgers, by the way, and the 2020 league MVP decides to sit out this season, he would be forfeiting $22 million. Here's a look at how that money is spread out through his base salary, roster bonus, and workout bonus. I get it. $22 million may not be that much to Aaron Rodgers, but it's a lot to some of us. Head coach Matt LaFleur also asked by Rob Domofsky about Rodgers today.
Yeah, I've got nothing to update Rob on that situation, and you guys all know how we feel about it.
Do you expect him to be here? It is mandatory.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see come Tuesday.
Ah, you know, the duck and the dodge there by LaFleur. You would expect nothing else. RC, there is a situation here where the Packers could just call Aaron Rodgers bluff and say, all right, man, you sit out this season, you forfeit $22 million. You think that's what they should do?
Hey, listen, you got to get out here and call bluffs like Matt Damon and Rounders. This is not the opportunity or the time where you can make the best deal when you're looking at Aaron Rodgers. That time has passed. So now it's like, okay, you've shown me your hand. I know what you have. Now let's see how you're going to play this, Aaron Rodgers. Are you going to miss out on $22 million? Are you going to give money back to the Green Bay Packers? And also, are you going to sit out a year after you just won the MVP and you're playing some of the best football of your life? Just come from two NFC championships, having a team with an opportunity to win the whole thing. Will you sit home? Will you forfeit an opportunity that people die for just to prove a point? You have a personal grudge against executives. You have something against a GM. Are you going to allow that personal feeling, those emotions, to keep you off the field, out of the locker room with your teammates, and from continuing to build your legacy? That's where Aaron Rodgers is. And if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I make him show me. I know they're in Wisconsin, but I'm going to be from Missouri. It's going to be show me what you're going to do, Aaron Rodgers, because I'm not budging until next year if you prove to me you're willing to sit home.
Listen, I think that last point, RC, is really the crux of this, and why I believe he ends up playing this season as a Green Bay Packer. Think about what Aaron Rodgers has done the last three seasons, okay? He's thrown 99 touchdown passes and 11 picks. Like, I had to look the numbers up a second time because I almost didn't believe it. That type of production is insane. And really what you're looking at is a guy who believes that the window to win a championship is wide open right now. So this idea that he's going to sit and just, you know, basically kind of prevent that from happening, winning a championship from happening, I just don't think will happen. Look, $20-something million is a lot of money to anybody. I don't care how much money you've made. I don't think that's the point here for Aaron. I think the point here for Aaron, and you mentioned it, it's personal. He feels like he's playing at a level that he should win a championship nearly every year. It's the culture and supporting, cast around him that has prevented that from happening. And I think basically what he's saying, we need to do it differently because I am in charge, not you. I think that's what's happening here.
Yeah, Tim, you know what's especially interesting about this dynamic with the Packers is that, yes, it feels personal, but it also feels like people trying to harness power, to impose their power, whether it's Aaron Rodgers to say, look at my position as a player in this organization. But then on the other side, Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, who's recently hired just a few years ago. And then Mark Murphy, who serves in a role that is more interesting than any other real role of a CEO in the NFL. The Packers are unique. They are a publicly owned organization. They have more than 300,000 shareholders. And Mark Murphy serves as essentially the voice of all of that, the head of all of that. In 31 organizations otherwise, you've got owners who can be a little bit more, let's say, frivolous. They can say, you know what, Brian Gutekunst, we want to keep Aaron Rodgers around, you're out. That's not going to happen with the Green Bay Packers. So as these sides are sort of kind of struggling for power here, I just don't see anything other than if the Packers want to leverage this thing, trying to push it into the season with Rodgers. Otherwise, it feels to me like this has to end in a trade.
Yeah, it's a really important clarification that I'm not sure everyone realizes about the Packers. It's also worth noting, guys, if Rodgers just said, you know what, I've had enough, I'm going to call it a career, he'd be forfeiting a total of $73 million. The Packers, of course, could maybe file a grievance over his signing bonus, asking to pay back half of it since he would have only completed half of his contract. $73 million if he retires. By the way, everyone, we got 99 days to the start of the NFL season. Yeah, we're celebrating that. 99 days, woohoo, until the kickoff of the 2021 NFL season. So how about this? We got 99 problems, but blank ain't one. Obviously, we cannot afford Jay-Z, so we've got this little knockoff music going on here. So Ryan, you go first. Give us something we should be excited about. 99 problems, but blank ain't one.
Hey, listen, the Jets have 99 problems, but blindside protection is not one. You have Elijah Vera Tucker drafted this year. You have Mekhi Becton drafted last year. And quarterback critics are going to say that Zach Wilson is money, cash, and throws, but he's the quarterback of the New York Jets. What type of facts are those? And you got to protect the guy that's going to lead you to the promised land.
Good job not singing, RC. Well done. Listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers this time of year, we're talking about everything that they have going wrong for them, offensive line, whatever. They may have 99 problems, but coaching ain't one of them. Remember what Mike Tomlin did with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph? He's going to be just fine in Pittsburgh.
I'd love to see the cash being exchanged in the control room about whether Ryan will not sing during this segment. So far, so good, Ryan. Look. The Chiefs don't have a problem with the offensive line. I know everybody's going to think about that Super Bowl coming into this season, and they're going to think that that is one of the major storylines. There is not a unit in the NFL that will be more improved than the last game of the season to the first than the Chiefs' offensive line.
The Eagles have 99 problems, but a QB ain't one. Yeah, you heard me. They're in good hands with Jalen Hurts. What? And I'm not saying he'll be perfect, right? But he's got a world-class offensive weapon in Devontae Smith. And that will be enough for Philly to feel confident they have their quarterback of the future to build around. If you're having passing problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a QB ain't one. Just going to leave that there. All right, anyway, wow, you guys stink. Like, you can't even give me any sort of support there. Much more to come on NFL Live. 49ers CEO Jed York spoke about the QB battle in San Fran between Jimmy G and Trey Lance. One of our analysts thinks Jimmy G has already lost the job. And up next, Tampa Bay Bucks head coach Bruce Arians puts his defending Super Bowl champs on notice. Find out what he said and who else should be on alert throughout the league. NFL Live is brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. And by DiGiorno. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. I can't believe you guys. Like, I did that line and I was ready for a big reaction. Where were you, RC?
I was with you, though. I was waiting for RC to sing.
We're
so scared,
no.
But
I
was
allowed
to host the show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bruce Arians, however, as you're looking at Bucks OTAs, putting the pressure on the entire Bucks roster. Listen to this.
I'm really pleased with guys coming back in good shape, and the repetitive mistakes are not happening, you know, so it's a good thing. It's a very bright group, and bring good intensity to practice. These guys out here working their ass off, but I'd like to see about 10 more of them that are fighting for jobs that they don't know they're fighting for.
Hey, that attitude's undefeated. Works in any career, by the way. So who else is fighting for a job next season? Jeff, lead us off.
Well, look, I think the running back situation in Tampa is extremely interesting. Yes, Jason Light, the GM, could bring back everybody, yeah, including Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. But it was Fournette at the end of the season in the postseason who looked best, and Jones in the regular season. So coming into this year, I say nothing is promised at RB1. I think that these guys will be duking it out in training camp, both in contract years, both looking to be the featured back.
But for me, it's Cam Newton, Jeff. I mean, you look at the situation in New England, threw 8 touchdown passes last season. They signed him basically to a backup deal a year ago. They redid a deal this year with backup money, half of what Andy Dalton or Ryan Fitzpatrick are due to make. And then they draft a quarterback with a 15th overall pick. I think Cam Newton is in a situation where he's got not an uphill battle, but he's fighting for his job.
Now listen, I'm looking at Jameis Winston. He's going to be in a battle with Taysom Hill, who was the guy that started when Drew Brees was out last year. And all Jameis Winston does is in his opportunity throw the best pass that any New Orleans Saints threw last year on a trick play in the playoffs. Mm. If Jameis Winston becomes the quarterback of this team, he can resurrect his career and maybe start a new tradition at the quarterback position for the New Orleans Saints.
Speaking of fighting for jobs, Jimmy G's fighting for his in San Francisco after the 49ers used the 3rd overall pick to get Trey Lance. Front office has continued to voice its commitment to Jimmy G, and what else would you expect, right, with a quarterback that did play in a Super Bowl for them not that long ago. But here's CEO Jed York on this quarterback battle, how it may play out for the 49ers.
And that's the nice thing about drafting a young guy is that, you know, when he's ready to play, he's ready to play. We love Jimmy. I think Jimmy, he got us to a Super Bowl. You know, obviously we didn't have the year that we wanted last year in terms of our record, but the things that we overcame as an organization, as a team, the injuries that we had, being kicked out of our home and going to Arizona, like, I think we showed a lot of fortitude. And I feel like we can compete right now, whether Jimmy's a quarterback, whether Trey's the quarterback, whoever it is. And, you know, if Jimmy gives us the best chance to win, then Jimmy's going to be our quarterback.
You know, it's worth remembering, too, that injuries were such a part of last season for the 49ers, and that's also something that goes hand-in-hand with Jimmy G's career, unfortunately for him. That's been well-voiced throughout. Mm-hmm. Jeff, what does all of this mean for the 49ers? How are they going to go about this?
Well, I'll tell you, this is the second time in as many weeks where I've kind of had my eyebrows raising a little bit based on things that are being said out of San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan last week saying that Trey Lance has looked better than expected, and that's just through a short portion of OTAs. Now Jed York saying that, yeah, we feel like we could win with Trey Lance or Jimmy G. This is the time of year that we've become accustomed to hearing GMs like Howie Roseman back when Carson Wentz was drafted. We don't want to see Wentz all year. Blake Bortles in Jacksonville. We don't want to see Blake all year. Most of the time, these GMs, these owners are trying to take pressure off of the quarterback. In San Francisco, to me, it feels like they're saying, wait a second, Trey Lance might have it. And that, to me, signals that I think we're going to see Trey Lance sooner rather than later at that starting spot, maybe even week one.
Wow. Listen, we were kind of all in a tizzy, right? Because I was trying to convince people that Mac Jones was number three overall pick when we were getting mock drafts, because it signified to me the San Francisco 49ers didn't really know who they were moving to number three for. But you know what they did know? They knew they were moving on from Jimmy G. They said, I don't care if it's Mac Jones, if it's Justin Fields, if it's Trey Lance. We don't want Jimmy G as our quarterback anymore. We want something different. And so you get Trey Lance. But remember this, guys. A few weeks ago, Jed York came on and said, you know, if Trey Lance doesn't play until he's 23 and he has a 15-year career, then we're doing a great job and we're in a great place. You see that starting to shift? You know why? Because Trey Lance is as smart as they thought he was. He does have the arm talent they thought he did. He can get outside of the pocket and make plays with his legs. And now you see that train of thought. Now you see that message transitioning, because this is going where we all knew it was going when they drafted Trey Lance. He's going to be the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers very early in 2021.
All right, so that makes me think, Tim, is this Jimmy's job to lose, or has he already lost it?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
He's already lost it. Look, even if he starts the first game of
just
this
out the gate
season, he's already lost the job. Look, I mean, that's how it goes. Listen, RC's been in that situation. He's seen it on football teams. Look, you go and do what they did to go get Trey Lance, and then you talk about Trey Lance the way that they've talked about Trey Lance, and then you're as candid as they have been about Jimmy Garoppolo and how, yeah, they like him as a player, but the injuries have been a big problem. The decision's been made. I mean, the reality is the starting quarterback in the face of the franchise, the guy they are building around, is Trey Lance. And, you know, RC touched on it, and I think it's critical here. You know, basically all these, you know, everyone saw the physical ability. They knew the talent of Trey Lance. But after the draft, what they raved about was how smart that Trey Lance was. His football IQ.
Exactly.
And if you look at the history of Kyle Shanahan, he is not afraid to play guys that don't have experience. And I don't think he'll hold back on Trey Lance.
Tim, it's a very good point. And one other point. Last year, late in the season, Kyle Shanahan already starting to tell people, man, I want to get away from this statue quarterback. I want to move into a more mobile quarterback. To me, he's going to shift that offense right toward Trey Lance on the outset.
You know, Tim mentioned the experience of Trey Lance. He's only played one game in the last 508 days. That was when North Dakota State played its only game of 2020 against Central Arkansas. It's worth thinking about no matter how you look at this. All right, coming up on NFL Live, 10 questions with Adam Schefter continues with the focus on the 2018 quarterback draft class. Who gets paid first, Baker, Josh, or Lamar? Find out next. We'll be right back. So we've heard plenty of reasons why quarterbacks from the 2018 class should get an extension, but what about why they shouldn't? For Sam Darnold, he's likely just trying to prove himself in year one with the Panthers. Since entering the NFL, Darnold has the league's second lowest QBR and completion percentage. Lamar Jackson has been phenomenal in the regular season, right? But in the playoffs, not so much. He holds the third lowest total QBR in playoff games since ESPN began tracking the metric in 2006. Josh Allen may have taken a massive leap last season, but his accuracy still a concern. Since entering the league, Allen has the highest off-target percentage by any quarterback. Then there's Baker Mayfield. He may have led the Browns to their first playoff win since 1994, but turnovers remain an issue. He has 52 turnovers since 2018, trailing only Jared Goff over that span. Wow, just call me Negative Nancy after that. But it is worth pointing out both sides of the coin here. Ryan, which of these quarterbacks still has the most to prove?
I mean, the obvious answer is going to be Sam Darnold, right? We're going to go there because of where he's gotten traded and all of these things. But to me, it's Lamar Jackson. And not because he has to prove he deserves money or deserves a contract. It's what type of money and what type of future do we see? Lamar Jackson has to prove that he can develop a passing game that takes him beyond the rushing, right? That takes him beyond the play action, that if my ankle is sprained, if my hamstring is tight, or if we're in playoff games where they refuse to let us run, we can have somewhat of a traditional passing game that works, a passing game that moves outside the numbers. I think you view him differently if he's able to develop that. We all know he's an outer-worldly talent. He's an MVP caliber football player, but can he be that quarterback that gets your passing game to the point where he can take you to the promised land? I think Lamar Jackson still has to prove that, because if he gets that, then none of these dudes are even touching him.
Yeah, Ryan, it's a really valid point. I think the tricky part of it is this, is that when you evaluate quarterbacks as passers, you know, you can't discount what they do as runners. Many play callers
right
won't call a passing play after a quarterback has just had a scramble. I mean, it's no different. Basically, you're saying, hey, I want you to play with the same accuracy as a guy that does not run, even though I just asked you to run quarterback power on third and one in the middle of the field. It's a really delicate balance. And in the same situation, quite honestly, for Josh Allen, when people look at that, you know, Laura, you pointed out, you know, in terms of, you know, off-target throws, well, he's used as a runner as well and oftentimes does it on his own. So I think that's the one thing as we look at, okay, hey, what is the future for Lamar Jackson? Hey, let's look him at as a passer. I don't think you can. I know his representation won't look at it, won't go to the table saying, okay, yeah, the passing numbers aren't there, because you have to factor in, and you have to factor in how that affects how he is as a passer.
Yeah, it's a really important point. I think people don't realize that all the time when talking about the differences in what these guys really can do from a skill set standpoint. Jeff, prove it or not, which of these guys gets paid first?
So I believe it'll be Josh Allen, and I understand there's some nuance to that, some complexities, because oftentimes if the guy who seems to covet the most money is up in a contract situation, it has the potential to perhaps get the ugliest. We saw what happened with Dak Prescott, for instance, but we've also seen what happened with Patrick Mahomes, a pretty amicable contract negotiation. That, to me, is what I envision for Josh Allen. This is a guy who seems to have a great chemistry with his organization. Brandon Bean, the general manager, there seems to be just all in on Josh, has made clear that this is something they'd like to get done sooner than later. They don't even want to mess with or think about that franchise tag. Yes, easier said than done. I just think we're talking about a guy in Josh Allen, and I hate to say this, like, the guy was raised on a farm. I don't want that to suggest that he doesn't deserve or not will chase money, but it just feels like the kind of guy who's going to be okay trying to put pieces around him, get paid a handsome amount. Stop it, Ryan. Ryan's going to call me out on that. I know he is. He was raised on a farm.
Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, man, I'm not tripping. Whether you're raised on a farm or born or in a mansion, we all like money. And Josh Allen is going to want his because he deserved it, right? Because he went out and had a great year. So let's not come here and say Josh Allen's going to walk in the office and be like, oh, shucks, I just like being a Buffalo Bill. As long as you give me enough to ride my cow, we are in there. No, Josh Allen earned his money. He was a top three MVP candidate, and he's going to get that bread. And so I think it won't be as easy as it sounds, because he's going to think Patrick Mahomes level. And obviously, we saw him and Patrick Mahomes on the same field in the AFC Championship, and they are not on the same level. But when I look at Baker Mayfield, right, if Baker Mayfield can understand who he is, I'm a guy who was helped by Kevin Stefanski. I'm a guy who was helped by a great run game. And if I have all of these things together, I can be great. I can be really good. I can help this team win. And so I think if Baker Mayfield understands that, if he negotiates his contract in that way, that he could be a dude after being number one overall pick who kind of gets his deal done before the other two guys, because I think there's so many different dynamics in play when it comes to Allen and Lamar Jackson.
Ryan, just for the cattle ranchers out there, did you say riding a cow? Or did I miss that?
Yeah, riding a cow, like okay. Throwing hay bales. Or milking a horse.
I don't know. Making a pretty good point. I took it off the rails, by the way.
I grew up in the suburbs of West Bank, New Orleans. I don't know like what you do with cows.
I think you milk them. I don't think
like
you
ride
them.
They got some across the street.
Hey, they're going to make us go to break if we carry on here, but you definitely don't ride cows. All right, up next, it's been over a week since Julio Jones said, I'm out of there. Jeff has the latest on the Julio trade timeline. Could be soon. Plus, hear what Falcons head coach Arthur Smith said today. We'll be right back. No, yeah, you definitely don't milk a horse, and you definitely don't ride a cow.
Do you
right?
Ride?
You can milk anything. You can
Google
milk
it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
UFC 263 from Glendale, Arizona, Saturday, June 12th, with two championship fight rematches and Nate Diaz making his return to the octagon. The main card starts at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on pay-per-view. To order in English and Spanish, go to ESPNPlus.com/PPV. The prelims start at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. Our Wednesday night baseball game has the Red Sox in Houston to take on the Astros. In the third game of a four-game set at Minute Maid, our coverage begins at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Don't miss it. Time to read and react here on NFL Live with the latest out of the mouths of some of the NFL's biggest names. The Browns made it clear they're solidifying their defense and free agency and the draft. They added John Johnson III, Troy Hill, Tack McKinley, Jadeveon Clowney, Malik Jackson, and Anthony Walker in free agency, and drafted Greg Newsom II and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa with their first two picks in the draft. Myles Garrett feels real good about it.
I think it'll come together quicker than most people anticipate. I like who we have on defense, and I feel like offense has stayed pretty much the same, except for a couple new additions. There's a lot of guys who play some good football that we've added to our roster, so I won't be surprised that they come in here and start making plays immediately, just because that's what they've been doing.
Hey man, listen, he is not lying. He is absolutely correct. When you had a guy like Jones who can line up everybody on the back end, Troy Hill, a versatile chess piece, and Greg Newsom, who was great out of Northwestern, you are trying to win games. Jadeveon Clowney can now be the number two rusher, speed at linebacker. They have now turned a liability into an asset for this team, and it's going to be some plays made by that Cleveland Browns defense.
How about another QB1 in Chicago, folks? I'll say it again. No offense to Andy Dalton, but I think the Bears traded up to get Justin Fields for a reason. He should go ahead and start as early as possible. Either way, Dalton brings valuable experience to the position. Here's Matt Nagy today on how they'll handle the competition.
I've talked to all three of them, and as we go into these practices, as we go into training camps, knowing how valuable it is for Justin to get his reps, you know, and then Andy obviously to get his reps too. Nick and I have talked, and he understands that going into this, that Justin's going to get the two reps, and that Nick's going to get the three reps.
So when I hear that, I just have sympathy for Andy Dalton and Nick Foles, quite honestly. Being in a situation like that, it's hard to succeed when they're trying to get somebody else ready. Now, that's the right thing for the Chicago Bears. The future is Justin Fields. Make no mistake about it. But I think when you look at what they've done this offseason, this is the position they've kind of put themselves for. They've made this bed, and I would have to think at some point Nick Foles maybe has an opportunity somewhere else.
Yeah. Can't forget about Nick Foles. I didn't mention him before. If you want to find the toughest division in the NFL, it really might be the NFC West. Every team making moves to get better, including the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray also entering the all-too-crucial year three. Interested to see what kind of leap he makes this season. Here's Cliff Kingsbury with more on that today.
I know he's been working really hard this offseason to try and take that big jump. I thought, you know, not having an offseason last year, rolling into season two, he made huge strides, and we expect him to make the same this season. He definitely is very confident right now. He's mastered our system. You can see, you know, the leadership qualities continue to emerge, and so we're all just really excited to have him here and watch where this thing can go with him as our leader.
There's no doubt merit to the wonder about what Kyler Murray will be in this next season. But, I mean, I was at a Week 9 game when I saw him with a pass rating of 150, just looking in person lights out, the way he moved, the way he threw. You saw that potential that Kingsbury's talking about. Of course, for as many 100-point passer ratings that he had, he also would dip down in the 70s and the 60s in other games. So, consistency, a major key for Kyler Murray going into this season. But he showed flashes this past year that certainly make Kingsbury worthy of those comments.
Yeah, you wonder if you put the Cardinals in a different division other than the NFC West, how they might look against some other competition. Considering the roster they put together. Back to one of the biggest stories of the moment, guys, Julio Jones. It's been over a week since he said he wanted out of Atlanta publicly, even if he really didn't know it was public. He also said he wants to go somewhere he can win. So where does this whole thing stand? Well, new Falcons head coach Arthur Smith spoke not long ago, and of course he was asked about Julio Jones.
You know, we kind of want to win last week. We have conversations all the time with all our players. There's good communication going back and forth through multiple avenues. So we'll see what happens next week and where we're at, you know. So I can answer that for you next week.
Is it frustrating to have to keep kind of like addressing that?
No, it's part of the job.
I mean, welcome to Atlanta, Arthur Smith. Like, this is just dropped right in your lap, man. Come on. All right, Jeff, what is the actual timeline here for Julio Jones? It feels like it could be happening soon.
Well, Arthur is being very honest right there when he says, let's talk about it next week. There's definitely a sense in Atlanta and elsewhere around the league that this will get done likely in the next week or so. They're having intense conversations with multiple teams. There is interest for multiple teams. So it feels like it's coming down to it. I think Arthur knows that. I think Julio Jones knows that. So too does the Falcons organization.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, when you think about the Falcons and what they would look like without Julio, because I think we need to operate in that world, right? When they drafted Kyle Pitts instead of getting a quarterback, it made you think they're in win-now mode, right? They're trying to put together a roster that really has this offense that's going to scare some people. Are the Falcons good enough without Julio?
Absolutely. And listen, Julio Jones makes everything better, right? It's like cheese and bacon. If you have an egg sandwich, you put cheese and bacon on it, it's better. You have a baked potato that's dry, but you add cheese and bacon, it is better. A hamburger, the same thing. That's Julio Jones. So wherever he go, he's going to make a team better. But think about the fact that you have Calvin Ridley, who's a number one talent, Russell Gage in the slot, and you add Kyle Pitts, who Mel Kiper himself says is he's the best tight end he's ever graded in 43 years, one of the best pass catchers overall. So you will have production. The offense wasn't the problem last year. It was the defense. It was the fact that if you march me out there, my goddaughter Alexandra, and maybe two of my kids, they couldn't stop us either. That's how bad the Atlanta Falcons were defensively. Aww. So they'll move the football. But have they fixed enough on the defensive side of the ball to even be competitive?
Yeah, RC, I think when you look at the offensive side of the ball, I think you're right. They're going to be okay. I mean, and I think that soundbite of Arthur Smith, in many ways, is kind of, you know, a big part of the reason why. I mean, the way that he attacks it is, you know, kind of his candid nature. then, you know, if you look at just his track record with what he's been able to do, think about what he's doing now. He's answering questions. He's basically trading away the best wide receiver that franchise has ever had, and he's like, let's talk about it tomorrow. Like just, hey, it's coming down the pipe. No big deal. Part of the job here. Here's what we're going to do. That demeanor, I think, is going to go a long way in terms of gathering trust from that football team. And I do think when you look at how Kyle Pitts will be used in an Arthur Smith offense, I think in some ways he'll fill that Julio void once they do trade him.
Yeah, Tim, it's an important point about Arthur Smith. Remember, He was a guy that was highly sought after by many teams in the offseason when teams were looking to get a head coach, and Atlanta ended up landing him. I think they'll be really glad that they did. All right, coming up on NFL Live, we're talking second-year quarterbacks. Ryan thinks one of these sophomore QBs could possibly win an MVP this season. Find out who he's talking about. We'll be right back. You know, it's fun to see those highlights of Burrow from last season before the knee injury. Just a reminder of some of the great things he did. And, of course, he is coming off that knee injury, but he's out there at OTAs just ripping the ball. I mean, look at that thing come out of his arm. If you ask Bengals players if they notice more velocity from Burrow, they all have one answer. Listen to this.
Yes. What? I was talking to Thad about it today. I was catching with my gloves off, and I was like, oh, this is, I need to put my gloves back on. And Thad was like, oh, yeah, he's humming the ball right now.
Joe's smoking them. They coming, you know, so we got to anticipate that because Joe got stronger last year as well, you know, so hands was out there stinging a little bit, but we got to adjust to it.
It's been fun to watch him because he looks good throwing the football. You know, obviously he can't do all the movement stuff that he'll be doing, you know, once the season rolls around, but I'm just watching him throw the football. It's the same old Joe.
Yeah, maybe even a better same old Joe. The Bengals are confident Burrow can pick up where he left off, but they may want to lighten the load on their young franchise quarterback. Last season, Burrow averaged over 40 pass attempts per game, the most by a rookie in NFL history. As you can see there, though, he wasn't the only rookie with a heavy workload last season. Justin Herbert also passed Andrew Luck for the second most pass attempts per game by a rookie in NFL history. Tim, do you see Burrow regressing or improving in your mind?
Well, I would anticipate that he improves. And, you know, I think the challenge is that he's coming off a significant injury. And the truth is, for quarterbacks, it's unnerving to have people around your legs. I mean, basically, it's, you know, it's why they've changed the rule, the Tom Brady rule, where you can't go low on a quarterback. And so anybody that's been rolled up on, it's happened to me, and, you know, I had two surgeries 2 years ago because of that. And so it's something that you have to get over mentally. And then I think when, as it relates to Joe Burrow's game, think about how good he has been at escaping. He's kind of got this slippery, you know, quality to his game, his ability to create. Sometimes he's a design runner, but oftentimes it's kind of second reaction plays, does such a good job of getting out of the pocket and creating because he's elusive. How will that, you know, be impacted by this recovery? You saw him in that video there at Bengals camp, wearing a big knee brace. Yeah. Is that something that he's going to be playing with going forward? I think all of those things are a factor in terms of what type of progress we see.
Absolutely. Tim makes the point of him giving you those second chance opportunities and those second chance plays. Laura, you know, we love the SEC. I think Joe Burrow's defining Heisman moment was evading the rush against Georgia, getting out of the pocket to his right, hitting Justin Jefferson down the field. And so those are the things we're used to seeing him do because he's uniquely brave in the pocket. Almost, if you ask a guy like me who would never want to play quarterback and have guys barreling down on me, almost stupidly so. But that's why we love them down here in Baton Rouge, and that's why they love him in Cincinnati, Ohio. So will he get the ball out of his hand quicker? And if doing that, in doing that, does that make him less of a player, less of a threat to push the ball downfield? So I think there will be some adjustments that Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals have to make. But when you watch a dude with the intangibles that he has, the type of leadership qualities, the understanding of the game, and the ability to distribute the ball, I think Joe Burrow will be just fine.
You know, it's interesting talking about the improvements that he's made with the strength in his arm. He really didn't have that much playing time in college. That's just another remarkable thing about his career. I think there's still probably so much more that you can get out of him. Jeff, let's take it to another second-year guy, Tua, kind of on a prove-it year in a way, right? So what's the thoughts from Miami on if he'll improve?
Yeah, no question. That's the biggest storyline in Miami by far. And I was having a conversation with a member of the organization who really instilled a lot of confidence in my belief that they feel like he is going to take that step, that they believe wholeheartedly that a lot of the issues that he did face last year after evaluating him were based on the fact that his wide receivers were injured, that his running game was decimated by injuries as well, his offensive line at times dealing with some injuries. So they feel like this team, if you look at some of the point differentials and the losses
that this is actually at least a 10-win team, and they believe Tua will be a part of that. So a lot of confidence behind the scenes in Tua's second year.
Yeah, this team is ready to win right now. It's time for Tua to take that jump. And when you look at these three quarterbacks, if Tua takes that jump, I believe that his team wins double-digit games. If Justin Herbert takes that jump, I believe that Justin Herbert wins the MVP. And that's what we're looking at when we're looking at these three dudes and the different places that they're in coming into this season.
Let's go. The Chargers made some big improvements around Herbert as well, at least on paper. Time for one more thing before we go. And guys, A.J. Dillon on the practice field is unbelievable with these quads. I mean, these things went viral. He's also got a Quad Father sweatshirt. It's like when your quads look like this, you get merch. So here's what he said about all of it.
I put out that maybe we can make a quad squad, no competition. But if it does come down to competition, you know, mine are the biggest, and we can put that down and state it out the strongest, you know, no big deal. I put out a thing on Twitter, and I did a little poll, and it was like 51-49 for Quadzilla and Quad Father. And somebody brought up the idea of one leg being Quadzilla, the other one being Quad Father. So I'm going to roll with that. Either name is applicable, and I'm fine with that. I'll definitely respond to it.
What do we think? Quad Father, Quadzilla, RC? Are you upset?
Why is that? Why
I think
Art
his mama
upset?
Named him. I think his mama named him. No, because his mama named him AJ. I'm gonna call him AJ. That's period. I'm not calling
no,
him
he said his legs.
I'm not calling another grown man. I'm not calling another grown man any of those things.
We're talking about
I'm
his legs.
Cool
you gotta call
that
what
young
legs
have their
Quadzilla.
Whole VMO out. Not doing it.
We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm not.